Amazing radio. Actually, great commercial break radio that no one gets to hear with Pete Carinci and Keith Mills, Jake Cottrell in the house. We're talking Baltimore soccer. We're talking about the amazing Final Four campaign of the 2014 Retrievers. I have to ask you this, Coach Carinci. 24 years at UMBC. I know we're talking about your days in high school, in college, growing up in East Baltimore. But 24
Essex Community
years.
College National Championship. Thank you very much.
How many national championships do you have?
God, you are
two.
That's a great. I don't know.
Playing and coaching.
Coach the Bees. We won the national championship.
A lot.
The pro team.
10 probably, right?
Nah, it's
20. He's Mr. Modest. Look at him over here.
I'm more worried about Brett than getting him a sub tomorrow.
Sub from Johns and Canton.
Yep, right there on off the square. It's a good place, by the way. It's a really good place.
Now you got to answer the question.
24 years UMBC.
Freeman Hrabowski, what does he mean to you?
Everything. He's one of the great people that I've met in my lifetime, and he's been very helpful to me personally. He got involved a couple times when I was thinking about leaving. He's great ambassador to the school. He helps the students. He's a mentor. Not many presidents in the country, I think, you can call or text and say, hey, I need your help, and right away he would respond. He's just been great, and he's one of the top 100 people in the world.
Yeah,
and you would
that.
Never know it. You know, you would never know it. And obviously, you know me, I joke around a little bit with him about it, but he's fantastic. I can't say enough about him.
The profile of the school is just exploded in recent years, and you know, you and everything he's doing have a lot to do with it, but you can just sense there's a lot of enthusiasm coming out of the campus.
Oh, the campus is, I mean, how it's grown. I mean, Keith knows, you know, from where it was back in the early 70s to where it is today, it's grown academically off the chart. In every aspect of the school, we've gotten bigger and better, and athletically, I think we continue to work at it, and obviously soccer-wise, getting to the Final Four where we are today is a great achievement, and a lot of it has to do with Freeman's vision of the school. I mean, obviously, you don't go to UMBC to play just to play sports. You go there to get your education. I know everyone says that, but that is really, really important to all of us. So, you know, our grade point average is 3.0.
Oh, Billy Heber, man, that's fantastic.
4.0.
Yeah, he's a
4.0
scholar
student.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go back to, I've never seen guys go on a road trip and take books in between, you know, the night before the
you
game.
You didn't do that at UB?
No. Books. Yeah.
Books.
Is that what that books. Is? Is that a book?
Yeah, we had books, but I think, you know, Sports Illustrated, we'll use it at that. That's what we were
and your son, Petey, is a grad assistant with you this year back with the program. I got a kick out of seeing you guys side by side at times. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was special. You know, he did a great job just being there for us this year. He knew all the, played with all the guys.
Sure.
Just to add his little enthusiasm, he trained a lot during the week with us. You know, he just added a lot to the team, and I'm happy for him because he wants to go back and continue to play professionally, and just to be in that environment one more year to as someone who's helping coaching, that'll help him down the road.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
And Anthony Adams, who's your longtime assistant. And
Anthony's my right hand. We wouldn't be where we are today without him, and I can't give him enough credit. You know, he's down in Florida right now getting ready to coach a local team.
Oh,
you know,
fantastic.
They play Tottenham tomorrow. So he's got
kidding.
And then the second day, they play the national under 17 national team. So it's the Celtic soccer team, and he's coaching Celtic Soccer Club. And Anthony and Dan, my other assistant, will be coaching him. So
we
want to
awesome.
Wish them guys good luck tomorrow in the tournament. And that's a pretty tough task to play Tottenham on one day and the U17 national team.
Man, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So they're jumping right in.
Yes, indeed.
Before we get to the phone lines, you know, for this program, I haven't looked who's coming back, who's not, but recruiting, I imagine everything kind of, I don't want to say gets easier at all, but the profile of the program goes up so much that I'm sure that helps you moving forward this year moving forward.
It really has. Obviously, you know, you win and you're the profile all over the country. Our main base of recruiting always has been this area, and it will continue to be that. But when you're when you're talking to kids now down in Georgia or other areas that have great soccer, and they're not only interested in you, but they're coming, and you're competing against some of the biggest schools in the country. That says a lot. And just the other day, we had a kid in that, you know, it's out of us, UCLA, Michigan, North Carolina.
Wow.
And that we're in the running with those schools. I can tell you, Keith, and you've been here a long time, you know, 10 years ago, that would never been the case. But we're competing, and we'll see what happens.
Plus, you're putting guys in the professional levels right now, which it means a lot of kids. That's important.
Yeah.
Right?
Last year we had 3 All Americans. We were the only school in the country. This year we have Omar Ballo, made it again, a 2-time All American, a local kid out of Curley, played at Essex for a year. So, you know, these guys are having their opportunities. Our Ooh. Best players are always get a push to try to play professionally. That's what we want. We want them to get their degree and then continue to move on. But like you said, profile all across the country. I made the quote, people don't know who we are today, but they'll know who we are tomorrow. I think nationally, people now know.
Oh, I thought they always did. The national soccer people, Pete, you've been involved with the National Coaches Association for a long, long time, and they know what you've done, and they know how good Baltimore soccer is. I don't think they're the ones that need convincing. I thought it was the peripheral people, the fringe people, and now they know, which is a real coup for the school. Because you can get a lot of students come to school for that as well. But I think the people that have known soccer for a lot around here long in the country, they know what you guys have been doing.
Well, it's the guys that, you know, run these websites and they don't really know. All of a sudden they're putting in their opinions and, you know, but all of a sudden that becomes the rule.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But again, the coaches and the players at the elite club level who played against all you guys, they know.
Oh, yeah, they know, that's for sure.
No question about it.
410-467-WBAL. Let's head to Brent in Perry Hall. Brent, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing, Keith? How you doing, you guys?
What's up, man?
I just wanted to add my congratulations to Pete and UMBC there. What an amazing accomplishment. That's something else. And I just wanted to say I'm one of the county boys who came from the county and had to break in down at Sherry's Inn on Port Avenue in order to play ball in that league. And I'll tell you something, you had to either play or, you know, you weren't going to be there to go home, right? So it was tough. And that was in the 70s. Pete was talking about 71 and around that time. It was tough down at Ortman Field there on that sand.
Riverside Park and Locust Point, man, that was nasty down
Absolutely.
There.
We played them all, and it was fun. I played for Conkling and for the Kickers. And it was a great league. It was a great league then, I'll tell you what. And then one day, and, you know, Keith knows I play the piano, right? So I'm going to college to study piano, and on the weekends I'm playing soccer down in this league. I'm running down the left wing, and some guy trips me, and I go fall flat on my face. My hands go out from under me, and I get up, and I go, sub for Hardesty. I got to go play a gig.
Hey, so Brent, we'll see you next week at Valley View, right, buddy?
You got it, man. See you, Keith.
All right.
Good stuff.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Yeah, actually, Brent went to Glenburn. He was a year or two before you, but his brother, Scott, played at a high level.
I know that.
Scott
Hardesty
played at a very high level.
So back
in those days in South Baltimore, as you know,
that
was its own separate world over there at that time, man. I played at Swan Park in baseball, and you had to look around. And you're like, whoa. What's going on over here right now?
Inner city games between South Baltimore and East Baltimore?
Oh, no question.
The best part was...
Would you guys ever get over to Locust Point?
Oh, there were some battles with Locust Point, yeah. Now we're all friends. All friends. Now we all get together. But back in the day, literally when you were younger, Pompeii against St. Elizabeth, St. Patrick, you grew up, you went to school together, but you were separated by streets. So you would not play. If you were from Pompeii, you wouldn't play with St. Elizabeth. St. Elizabeth wouldn't play for Pompeii or vice versa.
Yeah.
And it all was really by East Avenue would cut it off, Eastern Avenue. So
one of the great days in Baltimore sports history, unfortunately, was for a sad event. It was for a fundraiser for Pep Perella, the longtime coach at Archbishop Curley, played at Curley, and he passed away a couple years ago, cancer. But they had this big thing at the school, 3 years ago now, Pete? And I mean to tell you, Brett, the entire soccer community was there. I mean, it was thousands of people there, and it was a turf war come together. It was all the Hollandtown guys, the Dundalk guys, it was the Curley guys, the Calvert Curley.
I had never
seen anything like it. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's right. That's true.
Well, I want to
all arm in arm that day too, brother.
I want to hit this real quickly before we have to say goodbye here. This is a pretty big deal, wouldn't you say, Coach Cringy? What's coming here in July of 2015?
I'm very excited, yeah, to have the CONCACAF Gold Cup come back to Baltimore. They love the venue. I know the guy.
What, like 71,000?
71,000.
I know
the guy who ran the whole event last time it was here, and they love the town. They love the city.
And this isn't an exhibition.
This is the real deal, yeah. And, you know, there was talk of them, even us getting even a further match because they loved everything about M&T Stadium. They love the venue. They love the hotels. Every time the soccer people come to Baltimore, they love it. You know, we have everything right down there that you need, and the venue was great. And the people, you know, they love coming to the city.
Yeah.
People from out of state, out of the country.
It's a big deal, like as far as the
it's like Army Navy.
Yeah,
it's a huge
coup.
Yeah. NCAA lacrosse tournament.
This is huge.
Got to get the Final Four. Got to get the soccer Final Four here. That would be sweet.
Does that move around?
They're working on different venues. They're actually talking about trying to get the soccer now to expand from the from the fall and the spring, so that the final would be in the spring.
Wow.
Sort of like lacrosse.
No kidding.
And that's a proposal that'll go in effect next year.
Interesting.
Which would be huge.
What do you think
for
about
soccer?
That?
I'm in favor of it, but I have mixed feelings because I know some schools won't have the resources to be able to play fall and spring.
I got that makes sense.
Especially in this area, you're going against lacrosse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It makes sense because now you would be playing the Final Four on a great weekend in a venue with the weather being a lot better than it's been. So it's something to think of. But next year, we're also going to have the National Soccer Coaches Convention here, which
Back
is the
here.
Biggest convention in the country, and they love it here. I mean, it's an amazing event. Obviously, you guys, I know, Keith, you've been
there. I've been
down
there.
The national team, the national coaches, people from all over the world, they'll be here, and they love coming to Baltimore, and they love the venue. And
sweet.
You know, so this is a soccer town, and we support it, and we're looking forward to all these.
I have to ask you this before we have to let you go. Jurgen Klinsmann's comments about college soccer, I asked this to Sasha, and he got real hot, which I enjoyed, and I agree with him completely. The idea that the most talented players in the country should skip college to go right into whatever they do, I guess, everywhere else to breed soccer players. That's not what we're about here. Do you agree?
I agree with Sasha. I think that obviously, you know, in Germany that might be the situation, but here I want my son to get an education because when soccer's done,
the entire experience here of college
here in this country, when soccer's done, you have to have something to fall back on. And every kid that I'm talking to today about playing professionally, I make sure that they get their degree because there are a lot of people, and Keith knows these guys. There's a lot of guys in Baltimore who were some of the best soccer players in the country, never got their degree, and now they're unhappy. So that wouldn't have helped them playing at any level back then. But so you want to get your education. If you're one of those select few that's a world-class player, they'll find you and you'll get
your
chance
to
play.
No, wait for you, too. Yeah.
That's a great point. And Pete emphasizes this. Gary Williams used to emphasize this. He goes, hey, he would tell his players, get involved with the school, man. Get in there. Be a student. This is your time for 4 years. If you're good enough to go to the NBA, that'll take care of itself. If not, you're going to savor the whole collegiate experience. Your guys do it a lot. 90% of the kids around the country do it. And that plays sports. And that's what sometimes we lose in the whole in the message sometimes.
If it means that United States will never get through the knockout round of the World Cup, I don't
so
care.
I don't care.
It's not worth it to change our system, which is really about the college experience and a bigger idea besides a couple of World Cup opportunities.
And this is a big enough country that we can find the players who are the elite players that can play at the national team level. But I can tell you, I wouldn't be sitting here where I am today if it wasn't for me getting the education and my father stressing the importance of getting that degree because he wanted me to be the first member of my family to get a degree. And all the soccer that we're talking about would have meant nothing if I never got the degree. So that's something that's so important to everyone.
Hear, hear, brother.
Well, the National Coach of the Year, Pete Carinci, that was an awesome hour of radio.
Man, thanks for having me on, guys. To be with the dream team here is truly a dream.
Hey, I'm
for
going
me.
Out of John's tomorrow. Give me a sub.
Me too. And Keith Mills, awesome stuff.
And I'd like to thank Jay too, because Jay's our producer, and he
does all the work.
He does
Jay,
all the hard. UMBC alum.
UMBC alum. And
notice how he waited to drop that on
it.
You get a free dinner tomorrow, Jay.
That's Pete Carinci. Keith Mills will come back with more next here on WBAL News Radio 1090.